Someone give me the definition. Well, I've used the example before. Who will come and sit in my imaginary chair? You don't see the chair there? Would you sit down? See, if you were to sit down, that would be faith, because you can't see it. So faith is not what you can see. If I have $100 here and I say I'm going to give it to you, that's not faith, because you can see it. You can see it. Doesn't take anything for you to believe. You might want to believe, well, whether he'll give it to me, but you can, if you can see it, it doesn't take faith. What you see is not, faith is what you can't see. Genesis 11:6. And you might think this is a strange scripture to be using on faith. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined. Remember I said before that your imagination is your faith organ. What pumps the blood? Your heart is your motor. Name some other organs. What does the kidneys do? Flush waste. Name some other organs. Lungs. Well, there's an invisible organ that most people don't pay attention to. That's your imagination. This scripture is actually extremely profound and amazing. This is God saying about man that nothing will be restrained from them, which they have what? Imagine. If you can imagine, what God is saying is if he hadn't interfered, whatever they had set their heart to do would come to pass. Whatever they had seen in their head would come to pass. The law of faith works for Christians and non-Christians. Did you know that? Because it's a law. It's a law just like gravity, but it's a spiritual law. It took mankind thousands of years to come up with the physical laws. Anyone know any physical laws? Gravity? Anyone know any equations? Any electrical laws? Philip? Okay, the energy inside an atom, what's that? That's an easy one. Okay, there's one. The energy, very good. The energy contained in any matter is equal to the mass of that matter times the speed of light squared. So that's huge, isn't it? Because the speed of light is 186,000 miles an hour. So 186,000 times 186,000 is a very big number. So it doesn't take much to get a huge amount of energy. And it doesn't take much faith to get a huge amount of energy. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you had faith the size of what? A mustard seed. But the key for faith to work is you have to see it. If you can't imagine it, you're not going to have it come to pass. You see, faith can take you through your imagination where these eyes cannot. See, people from Missouri, what is that? See, they would say, I'm not going to believe it unless I can see it. Well, that's not much belief. If I can see it, I don't have to believe it, because that's taking in information through your senses, the sense knowledge, what I call the tree knowledge. But this is actually a key scripture in understanding the operation of faith. It's your imagination. Is there something you want God to do? Can you visualize it inside of you? Because that's the key. Because God said here, now nothing, he put no limit on that. That's just amazing. He said, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. It's people who have great imaginations are the great achievers in this world. It's people who can't, who nothing appears, but they have seen the answer in there. Those are the people. Think about it. All of the great people in this world by the world standard are people who have seen things that other people can't. Meaning it wasn't something that was material. It was something. They caught a vision and then they made it happen. So faith starts with your imagination. Now, if you want to strengthen some part of your body, what do? You have to work it out. You have to get in the gym and start lifting weights. And that's painful, right? The very first time, the next morning, you're going to be what? Sore. You're going to hurt. How would we work out our imagination? Practicing. You got to lift some weights. You got to lift some spiritual weights. You got to see some things that are not happening and believe, I'm going to hold on to that vision. I'm going to see this church full. I'm going to see us with a roof. I'm going to see us with some air conditioning. Didn't I some years ago declare that? After we'd been turned down for a loan by all these banks, I said, God is still going to do it. Didn't I say that? That is how it happens. And I'm not going to tell my story again, but when I got that letter declining me, the mortgage said, no, I refused to accept it. They sent me a letter and I said, no, this is not right. The house, yes. Right? I said, I refuse to accept this. This is not what God... No, I couldn't see it. Here I could see some facts that said, you are declined, we're going to foreclose. And I said, no. That's against what my eyes were telling me. But I said, God told me something invisible, that this was not going to stand. So the key to faith is your imagination. Before you even pray, start seeing the answer. See it. And you know, if you close your eyes and start seeing, you know what's going to happen to your face? You're going to start smiling. You can't help it. If it's something you really want, and you start to close your eyes and you start to see it, you're just going to start smiling. Okay, so you may not have seen that this was a faith scripture, but it's the basis for faith is your imagination. Sister John.
You know, I started to get a testimony, but now it lines up with the word today.
Okay, I know you were silent today. We were missing you.
I wanted to tell it, but I said, well, let me give everybody else a chance to say something. But, you know, I was sitting on the porch the other night, and as I sit there, from the back of my porch to the backyard, I saw this lightning bug, and he was just lighting up. And right away in my mind said, you can tell him to come to you. And I just thought it. I said, okay. I said, come here. And I told the lightning bug, I said, come to me, come here. And he came from all the way to the back. And I said to myself, land on my hand. And he came and he just landed right on my hand. And I was just totally amazed that he would come from all the way back there, came all the way to me and landed right on my hand.
Well, the scripture says, right, that in the beginning he gave man dominion over everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So at some point in the future, we're going to have dominion again. So you're just practicing a future fulfillment of scripture. Amen. Amen. My dad had that experience. He told a testimony one night. He was coming home very, very late, and it was dark. And they were Doberman pinchers down the street just suddenly ran out and were tearing towards him. And he had nowhere to go, nowhere to run. And so he just finally turned around and he said in Jesus, just about that when they were about to leap on him, and they both sat down at his feet. They both just suddenly just stopped and sat down on his feet. You see, faith starts with seeing the invisible. The Bible says it's the invisible things that are eternal. Now, that doesn't make sense to the world. How can an invisible thing be eternal? But that's what the Word of God is. The Bible says that the world was created out of things not seen. And the whole universe is held together just by the Word of God. The Bible says that we have power in our words. If we speak it through faith, believing, and if we can see the end result. So I just wanted to start with that scripture because you may not have realized that that is a key scripture to understanding the operation of faith. You first have to be able to see it in your imagination. If you can see it in your imagination, then you can pray for it. Then it can come to pass.
You kind of covered all the grounds and thanked everybody before I could do, but I do want to thank God for the prayer breakfast and for Everyone that helped, and it started off as a vision. It started off as an idea, and even like a week before it actually was to come to pass, I was saying to the Lord, "Okay, you've given me this idea. I'm trying to be obedient to what you want me to do. What is it for?" And the Lord showed me a vision, because to me, all I could see was women having breakfast and different women coming together. But He showed me what happened yesterday. Was the presence of the Lord just coating the place, and just women just weeping. And then I said, okay, Lord, that's what it's for. And I want to thank God for giving me the idea, for putting the people in place to make that vision come to pass. And I had no idea what it would do until about a week ago, when Saturday morning I woke up and I couldn't sleep. He was just downloading and showing me a vision of what happened yesterday. And I just want to thank God that when you get an idea, and if you know it's from the Lord, you obey, you move on it, because He will bring it to pass. And I just want to thank God for what He did yesterday, and for all the people that He sent to help. Sister Audrey, the venue, Sister Sapphira Conley, I didn't know she'd say yes. The Lord gave me her name, and she just said yes. And Sister Joanne for putting the flight, all the people that He put in place. If God gives you a vision, He will bring it to pass. And it might be beyond your ability, but if He said it, it's going to happen, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So you see, it's so important. The Bible says the people perish without what? Like without a vision, yeah? Without a vision. So a vision is something that is not actually actualized yet. It's something that you see that doesn't exist yet. Right? That's a if it's there, that's not a vision. If I can see this phone, that's not a vision. But if this phone is not really there, but I see it, that's a vision. So today, what I'm trying to tell you is, if you want faith to start to work, you got to see. If you're sick, see yourself healed. See yourself healed. If it's a job you want, see yourself working. If it's food you need, see yourself God providing food. That's what it starts with. You have to first be able to see it. Again, he says, now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. God said there was no limit. If they could imagine it, they would do it. They would do it. Let's look at the Hebrews definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In fact, I call this the dimension of faith. And some years ago, I sat down and I worked out some things. I actually made a Bible study, but it's a little bit, I don't know if I've taught it the way I would like to teach it. It's a little bit technical. But I actually believe, you know, how many dimensions do we have right now that we know of? Well, we have three spatial and one of time. So scientists will say, we can perceive four dimensions. We can have length, breadth, width, height, and time, right? So to specify something, you need all those four. You got to say it's at this spot at this time. That's how you can put stuff in space. You say it's X here, Y here, and Z here at this time, and that specifies a point in space. But I've come to the conclusion that there is a fifth dimension, and that is faith. Faith moves into places where just walking or thinking or other spatial things can't. Faith moves. That's what Jesus said. He said if you had a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say, again using speech, the word, this mountain be moved into yonder place, into the sea. How did God create the world? The Bible said He used words. He said, let there be. And as I've said so many times, if God says, let there be, the answer is, and it was so. Amen. Hebrews 11:1 gives us the classical definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Things not seen. So the only way you can see it is through your imagination. So there is a deep relationship, as I've said, between faith and sight. What you can see is not of faith. What you can't see with the natural eyes, but if you can see it through the spiritual eyes, through your imagination, then that is faith. Faith is actually seeing the invisible. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of Him, This is Paul writing, and this is so deep and profound. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, does that make sense? That is so profound. He says, for the invisible things, speaking of God, of him, are clearly seen, being understood. Where do you understand things? With your big toe? With your mind. In other words, with your faith organ, with your imagination. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being on, he's talking about your imagination, because the only way you can clearly see invisible things is in your mind, in your imagination, being understood by the things that are made. What he's saying, when we see a rose, when we see a beautiful plant, a beautiful flower, what we're seeing is the result of an invisible thing. And once you understand that that beautiful thing had something much greater behind it that's invisible, that's what he's saying. The invisible things of him, that is God's power, God's nature, are shown by the visible things, are understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. What he's saying is that even without a Bible, people will be unexcusable, because nature speaks, shouts out the existence of a deity, of God. He's saying nobody's going to be without being able to say, well, God, I didn't know you existed. And the proof of that is that in every civilization of mankind, man has sought to worship something. Whether it's rocks, rivers, trees, there's been an inside innate desire to worship something, because just by looking at God's creation, man knows that there is something bigger than himself. So faith is seeing the invisible. Look at what Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding. What I'm trying to show today is there's a connection between seeing the invisible and faith. So I'm giving you here today something to increase your faith. I'm giving you, I don't want to call it a tip. Anything you want God to do, you have to see it. You have to see it. You have to start seeing it. Close your eyes and start seeing it. If it's a job, if it's a financial blessing, if it's a letter, you close your eyes and use your imagination to see it. Start to see the vision. Sister Joanne.
I just feel good this morning, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Again, it goes back to receiving the Holy Ghost. I went to church three times a year. That was Mother's Day, Christmas, and Easter. So I had three outfits, that's it, for church. And that day when I went to church, I just knew everybody kept saying, you need that Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. They didn't tell me how to get it. They just said, you need it. So I remember going home, and I said, Lord, I need one of them Holy Ghosts, because I didn't know what they was. So I said, I need one of them Holy Ghosts. And I remember just laying before the Lord, and I said, give me one of them Holy Ghosts, give me one of them Holy Ghosts. And I remember coming to church, it was a women's conference, and I remember just having my eyes closed, and I said, Lord, I need one of them Holy Ghosts, I need the Holy Ghost. And I remember the heavens opened up, I saw it, I saw it. And the Lord told me to stand up, raise my hand, and open your mouth. Out come living water, and the Lord's hand just touched my face. So I saw, and out of that, that's when I began to speak in tongues. I knew nothing about the Holy Ghost. I knew nothing about God. Only thing I do is have faith to believe that I wanted that Holy Ghost, and he gave it to me.
Amen. Amen. See, what I'm trying to explain to you today is that you should pray seeing what it is you're praying for. The eyes of your understanding, sorry, Sister Pam, being enlightened. That's what Paul is saying. He's speaking about something that you can't see with your natural eyes. That's what he's speaking about.
No, I couldn't. Okay. So you know that we're planning on starting a church, and that we've been walking by faith, and then God spoke to me that location that was Chattanooga. So as you're talking here, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going by faith. I opened up my Google map. I did not look at any, like the real pictures of the map, just the map itself. Placed my finger in a spot on down in Chattanooga or north of Chattanooga, and I hit the picture and opened it up and look at what it is.
That's
It's a small little church building. That's amazing.
Amen. 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 So God works in a spiritual sight that we can't even see with our natural. You see, the natural, in fact, will defeat us. That's why we close our eyes when we're trying to imagine something, because the natural senses will override our faith sense. It's very hard. That's why we close our eyes when we pray, because if we're looking at something that is a certain way, that truth, that amount of physical truth will override if we're looking at it that way. That's why we need to just sometimes close our eyes and see the vision of what God wants to happen in our lives. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. So as I said, your mind is where you see things that cannot be sensed. Right? Who's been to Paris? All right, Josh has been to Paris. You've been to Paris? Anybody else been to Paris? But if I say Eiffel Tower, you can all immediately, in your mind, see what that is. See? I've not been to Paris. I've been to France, but not to Paris. So your soul is the vehicle now where that faith operates. And your mind is the engine which powers the process. So I'm trying to tell you now, when you pray and you're asking God for something, see it. See it as if it's done. Remember what God says in Romans 8. He calls those things that are not as though they are. God operates in the same way. God calls those things that are not yet as though they are. That's why he's looking at us, not as we are, but as the perfected person, if we stay and remain, we will be. That's why God can deal with us, because he's not looking at us the way we are. I'm an unfinished vessel. But thanks be to God's grace, he's looking at me perfected through Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's the key to the operation of faith. Your mind is the eyes of your understanding. That's what Ephesians said. Now, people who don't have faith, the Bible contrasts that and it says Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened. It means they don't have faith. They cannot come to the knowledge of God because they don't believe. And where is belief centered? It's in your mind. See, they want to see something happen. They want to see some glowing orb suddenly appear in this church. They want to see it before they would believe there is a God. They want to see some miracle. They want to see something physical. That's why it says a darkened understanding means no faith. It means you cannot see. Your imagination is shriveled up. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Because the Bible says that those who come to God must first believe that what? That he is. That means that he exists. Right? If you want to get anything from God, you first have to believe that he exists. And that he is a rewarder. What does the scripture say? Of them that diligently seek him. So an atheist will believe we're all crazy. Can't see it, can't touch it, can't feel it. I can't measure it. Science can't put it under a microscope, so therefore it does not exist. You know what that means? Their imagination, when it comes to things of the spirit, is darkened. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness. And you see how he puts it? Blindness of the heart. Means their imagination can't go beyond what they can see. You tell them there's a God and that he can do things. Sister Audrey. That's okay.
So when the people in Baal were building the temple, their imagination would have allowed that to happen. So God had to change it all up. So would you also say that sometimes our imagination, like if we're imagining things that are not of God, like sometimes we imagine we can see something, but how can you kind of like tell, like if this is of God, this is what God is going to do versus this is my imagination, this is of my flesh?
Well, that's why we have the written word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So there are all kinds of faith. There can be bad faith. We can just see that by all the religions in the world, right? People believe things that are not true. So it's not that they don't have faith, but the words that have been poured into them, that they have been taught, have directed their faith in a negative way. So that they are worshiping, I don't want to say demonic forces, sometimes they are, but they're worshiping mostly in ignorance. That's what it says. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They have not been able to see the truth. So there's many types of faith, and faith comes by what? So that tells you that you have to be careful what you listen to. How can you be deceived? How did, in the story in the garden, how did Eve become deceived? She listened to someone else's words. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, good hearing, comes by the word of God. But you can get faith in bad things, negative things, by listening to the... That's how Eve became deceived. He said, hath not God said? Hath God really said that you're going to die? See, Satan can use words too. In fact, that's how he came to Jesus. If thou be the Son of God. So, having our understanding darkened means we don't have faith. Let me go through this and I'm going to show you now how this comes together. Romans 7:23. Look at Paul. He says, but I see, and he uses visual imagery, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. The flesh, when we look at a situation, you know, we see someone who is sick. If we just keep our natural eyes looking at the sickness, we're going to have a hard time praying for that person. He's saying, I see a law. The natural five senses is telling us, wait a minute, this is impossible. This person, the doctors have given up on them. They're at stage 4 breast cancer. They're at stage 4 whatever. It's impossible. If you keep in the natural and look at that, yes, it will be impossible. He says, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, meaning his faith, his imagination, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, because the Bible says that lack of faith is what? Sin. Sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? If we stay in the natural, if we see everything through just natural eyes, we're not going to have much faith, and that brings about death. But he goes on to say in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. What he's saying is this, that we can be perfect in our imagination. Now I am not perfect in my actual actions. But I want to see me as God sees me. God sees you as perfect. Did you know that? Because if he didn't, it would mean that what he did on Calvary was worthless. That's what we are doing. We are fighting God's declaration. He said in Genesis 17, and I've quoted this so many times, he said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. That's the translation. That's the way they've translated. But really what he was saying is, Abraham, you start walking and I declare you perfect. Now it's just for us to accept that. Now that's so hard. Because if you look in the mirror, just physically, we can see all kinds of things we don't like about ourselves, right? And we try and hide those things. You know, we try and wear different clothes to hide our imperfections. But truly, God is our covering. So I thank God through Christ Jesus. So then with my mind, Paul was saying, listen, I know that if I look at myself and listen to my flesh, I'm lost. But with my imagination, I'm going to serve the law of God. And this is very critical. Because it's belief in Christ's righteousness that makes us righteous. You have to believe that Christ makes us righteous. If you don't, you are already condemned. The Bible says if your heart condemns you, right, you're going to be condemned. You have to believe, because what, again, you are saying is that what Jesus did on Calvary was not good enough. The Bible says he cleanses us all, from what? All unrighteousness. So yes, in my flesh, I am not perfect, but thanks be to Jesus Christ, he's not looking at me that way. He is looking at the finished work. Amen. So the body should serve the soul. And the soul should serve the spirit, and the spirits should serve God. That's the way it should work. Now, in our flesh, sometimes it doesn't work that way. This body wants to do its own thing. And sometimes you have to tell it differently. You have to put it under subjection. So how do we do this? Well, the Bible says we have to have a transformed mind. Transformed mind, that means you got to think differently. You have got to think, I am a child of the King. You know, the rich and famous do not know who I am, but God does. It says you have to have a transformed mind. What does that mean? It means you have to have a different way of thinking. Because your different way of thinking will eventually change your different way of acting. That's how it works. You keep telling yourself a certain thing, it'll come to pass. But if you say, I can't do this, then you won't. He said, and be not conformed. Don't let this world make your thinking a certain way, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This goes back to your question. If you have a transformed mind, God will be able to start to speak to you and give you revelation and give you what direction you should go. Hallelujah. That he may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In fact, Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Imagine if we had the mind of Jesus Christ. Well, one thing for sure, he looked at things as they were finished. And it's so hard for us to do that because we let our natural eyesight overrule our spiritual. And the key I'm saying to this lesson's titled The Operation of Faith, is you have to have a vision of what it is you're praying for. If you can't see it, it's not going to happen. But if you can see the end result, if you can see the finished thing, you can have what you believe. That's what it said in Genesis 11. Nothing that they have imagined would be restrained from them. If you can see it in your spiritual mind and start praying towards that end, it will happen. Amen. It will happen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So having a transformed mind is necessary for the fullness of faith. It's necessary for the fullness of faith. Let's look at this with an actual biblical example. John 20:24. This was after the resurrection, and he appeared to 11 of the disciples. But Thomas was not there at the time, right? But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. This is impossible. I saw them nail him. I saw them nail him in his feet and his hands. I saw when his head slumped. I saw when they took him down. He was dead. I know that they buried him in this rock tomb and they put a whole stone over him. I saw that with my eyes. He could not see what Jesus had been telling him, that it behoved Christ to be crucified and rising. He had forgotten all of that. All of that had left his imagination. All he could see was this. That's why it's so bad to look at stuff with natural eyes. Because if you keep doing that, your faith will be crushed. He says, it doesn't matter what you guys say. Unless I see him with these eyes, I won't believe. And many times we look at Thomas and say, boy, we call him what? What do we call him? Doubting Thomas. But listen, that's us. That's us. We are so fearful and unbelieving, no matter what God has said. Jesus told them, I'm going to rise again. He told them that. They had seen miracles before, but this one was too big. God has delivered you so many times, but he can't deliver you this time. This one's too big. Right? I can just tell you all the things God has miraculously done for me. But then Satan will come and he'll bring a Goliath. And he says, yeah, well, this is too big. As if anything is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. But that's what will Satan say. Or he'll say, yeah, he did help you out of that problem, but you know, you messed up, so he's not going to help you this time. He'll always come with something to take away your faith, to sap your strength. Unless I see the nails in his hands, I'm not going to do it. So faith then is seeing what has not yet been manifested to your senses. Think about that. Does everyone here have a need today? Is there something you would like? Don't tell me. Just hold up your hand. If there's something you would want God to do for you. I don't have enough fingers and toes. Have you ever just closed your eyes and seen this thing done, completed? Okay, well then you are halfway towards getting it done. That's what you have to do when you pray now. When you pray for these things, what I'm trying to tell you in this lesson is see the completed thing, whatever it is. See it, and meditate upon it. As you do that, faith, the action of the law of faith is going to happen. I told you that God had told me, and I'm told that so many times, but when God tells you something, even if you can't see it with your natural, see it in the vision, in your imagination. And I said, now how do we get our faith to rise, our imagination? You have to work it out. You have to go to the spiritual gym and start lifting up some weights. Maybe you can't raise dead today, but start off with the 5-pound weight. Start believing God for what your faith can stretch to. And after a while you say, well, you know, he did that. Maybe he can do this. And start to see. That's how David defeated Goliath, right? He didn't just defeat Goliath one day and walk in and said, I've never done anything with God before, but now I'm going to kill Goliath. No, he said, he helped me slay a lion, and he helped me slay a bear, so I know he can take care of you. He had built up his faith that all he needed was a sling and some stones. We have seen the Lord. Oh, no, you haven't. I'm not going to believe. It'd be great when we have our own testimony of victory. See, I can tell you what God has done for me, but it probably won't mean as much until you have your own miracle. And then you understand. You know, let me see how I can put this. I found out I wasn't very empathetic. I wasn't very caring to people with arthritis. I didn't understand about arthritis. It didn't make sense to me. I'd heard about it all my life, so it didn't really, what's this? You know, in fact, to be honest with you, I made fun of people with arthritis. You know, they would have these commercials where the lady could not pick up the pot. She said that she could not pick up the pot. Then she takes the pill and she says, now I can pick up the pot. I didn't understand about arthritis. I wasn't very sympathetic until a few months ago, I started getting this kind of funny thing in my thumb. And at first it didn't hurt. It was just, it would click. You know, I couldn't bend it. It would just suddenly click. And I thought, what is this? And it kept on, you know, getting worse and worse. And then I realized after a while what it was. And I said, oh, that's what it is. See, I was a bit like Thomas. I didn't really understand. I wasn't very sympathetic until I could feel it for myself. Some of us, we don't believe until we are in that situation. But faith is seeing what has not yet been manifested to your senses. God is really saying to most of us, come and sit in my chair. Now, I know when I say that, nobody's going to come up here and sit in my beautiful, can't you see how beautiful this chair is? This is a beautiful chair. It's velvet velour. It's got high back. You can't see it? You can't see it? God is telling us, listen, I've got this. Sit back in my chair. But we criticize Thomas, but we're doing the same thing. We're saying, where, Lord? You said you were going to deliver me, but I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. So the operation of faith is where believing becomes seeing. Becomes seeing. Let me give you another Old Testament example. 2 Kings 6:17. Now Elisha the prophet had kept on giving away the king of Assyria's war plans. God kept on revealing. Every time the king of Assyria was coming to attack Israel, God would reveal it to the prophet and he would warn the king. And so every time the king of Assyria tried to attack Israel, he lost. And after a while he got tired of this. He said, listen, somebody is giving away our secrets. We've got a spy amongst us. And his soldiers said, well, no, not really. It's the prophet Elisha. They have a prophet and he keeps revealing everything. So the king got mad and said, we got to kill this Elisha. Where is he? So they found out what city he was in. And the king sent a small army. A small army to come and kill the prophet. And they surrounded the city. And the whole city was afraid. And of course, Elisha's servant was also afraid. Imagine, you get, you know, 1,000 soldiers come to get you. And you can see them. And they're threatening the city. They're saying, you better throw the prophet out, or else we're going to destroy you. And his servant said to him, what are we going to do? 2 Kings 6:17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now, was his servant blind? No. But actually, his servant was blind because what he was looking at was the situation. If you look at the fact that the devil has surrounded you and is trying to kill you, and there doesn't seem to be any way out, you need this prayer. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open your eyes. Lord, open my eyes. The Lord did a miracle. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And suddenly he saw spiritually. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. The little army that had been sent was nothing. The whole surrounding countryside was full of God's heavenly army. You see, when we look at things as they are, we're going to be defeated. We're going to be shaking. We're going to be worried. And we're human. At times that's going to happen. I confess there have been times when I get shaky and worried. I'm flesh. I'm not where I want to be. But if we can remember, anytime we're going through those situations, say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see your salvation. Let me see your deliverance. Let me see really what's going on here. Let me catch the vision. Because I am your child, and he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. The Lord opened his eyes, and suddenly he saw, wow, there's so many more with us than is against us. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. Now, to show you how this was all about spiritual sight, what happened to the army that came? Do you know how God defeated them? He made them blind. He opened the eyes of the young man and he blinded the eyes of the soldiers. So in the end, they had to be led. See how God is trying to tell us something today about the operation of faith? We walk not by sight, but by faith. I'm trying to encourage you. All of us, nearly everybody said they had a need in their life today. When you pray about this now, see it completed. See it as done. Start believing it. Start saying, God, I believe your word. Because you see, in court, when you go up and you put your hand on the Bible to affirm or to swear, they make you repeat this phrase. Can anyone tell me what they say? I swear to do what? Well, right. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Here is the problem with our five senses. It is the truth, but it's not the whole truth. It's not all of reality. It's only a part of reality. It's the spiritual side that you're not seeing. And you see, it was true. What he could see was true. They were surrounded. There was a whole army. That was true. But what he couldn't see was the total truth, the whole truth. The whole truth was, yes, there was couple thousand men surrounding them, but the whole truth was the whole valley, the mountaintops, were filled with the army of God. When you feel your faith starting to fall, just say, Lord, open my eyes. Open. Say that prayer and then begin to visualize and see in your imagination. Remember Genesis 11, whatever they have imagined, nothing will be restrained. I don't want to call any names, but right now there's some people in here who have some great needs. I want you to start praying and seeing the thing completed and believing. And you will come back, I don't know how long, and you will have a praise report. Because God's word can never fail. He said, my words will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never fail. So faith is the process of making manifest a spiritual possibility. That's why I call it the possibility dimension. Faith is, in my view, the fifth dimension. It moves things from here that are impossible over to here, and they become possible. Let me give you Jesus' own example. Mark 11:13, and I'll soon finish. And seeing a fig tree far afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Do you understand? It wasn't supposed to be bearing fruit yet. For the time of figs was not yet. Think about that. The tree was not in season because it wasn't supposed to be in season yet. I'll come back to that. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Now, notice something. It says, Jesus answered. Jesus answered. Answered what? You know, it's like Sister Connolly said yesterday. Sometimes we read scriptures and we misread scriptures. It says, Jesus answered. Jesus answered what? I'll get back into that. But there had been a conversation here. I found nothing but leaves for the time of figs. Jesus answered and said unto it, hereafter forever, no man eat fruit of the hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, at first, looking at the fig tree with natural eyes, nothing happened. Not a leaf fell off. The tree still looked green. And you could not see that right then and there something had happened. But you couldn't see it. You see, it had happened in the spirit world. It had happened underground where they couldn't see it. The Bible said that immediately the roots of the fig tree shriveled up. But you couldn't see it. So anyone looking, well, Jesus, you didn't do nothing. Nothing happened. You see, faith is making manifest what has happened in the spiritual, in the actual. It's actualizing something that is invisible. And you do that by first seeing the vision and believing it. And Peter called the next day, Mark 11:21, Peter calling to remembrance saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest. Now he could see it physically. It had withered away. And Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. And some translators say that that really means have God's faith. When you pray, see it as a done thing. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Now look at that. It says doubt in his heart. What it's saying in your imagination. But shall believe for that those things he hath said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. My mother was a great example to me of someone. I mean, I saw it growing up. I saw them, both my parents, declare things and it would happen. You know, I'm not imagining this. I witnessed it personally as a child. She was a great believer in pointing to things and declaring it. And it would happen. The house they bought, they didn't have what it took. She pointed it and declared it and it happened. This church, this whole building, when they bought, I mean, they could not have bought this building, but they declared it and it happened, right, Sister Deborah? You were here. They just believed in doing what the Bible says, that you shall have. What does it say? He shall have whatsoever he saith. If it's according to God's will, it will happen. So faith is the process of making manifest, that means making appear what is already happened in the spiritual. Jesus cursed the fig tree. In the physical, they couldn't see it, but underneath in the roots, it already was dead. It just took time for it to manifest in the physical. That's all it took. I'm going to hurry. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe. Where do you believe? In your big foot? In your toenail? No, it's in your mind. You have to see it. Believe that he received them and he shall have them. Because of my parents, I always had this great faith, not in me, but in God's favor. I always had that, you can't stop me, not because of me. You can't put me down, not because of me, but because of who he is. If we could understand and get that level of belief that God loves us and believe who he has called us to be, see yourself as a child of the king. If you're a child of the king, are you going to worry? Do you think Prince Charles worries about stuff much? He probably worries about, what shall I wear today? In his 30-foot walk-in closet with, 50 suits on this. What shall I eat today? Shall it be, I don't know. Caviar. That's what they worry about. If we're a child of the king, doesn't the Bible say, take no thought what he shall eat or drink? Because he loves us more than sparrows. He says, every single hair on your head is numbered. God knows more about you than you do. But we get so panicky, we get so upset. Let me try and finish. I'm running out. Genesis 11, okay? Behold, the people is one, and they have all, this is the thing I started with, one language. This they begin to do, and now nothing. That's why God had to come down and mess them up, because they would have achieved what they started out to do, will be restrained from them. Nothing. You must see the answer. Well, how? By imagining it. You got to see it in your mind's eye. If you can see the vision and pray towards that vision, I am telling you that according to God's word, if it's according to his will, now don't see someone getting murdered or see you having someone else's wife. That's not according to God's will. You understand what I'm saying? But if it's according to God's will, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. Let me just quickly finish this up. There are two types of visions. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will what? Surely come. It will not tarry. It will not just stay there forever. If you're going through something right now, there's an end to it. If it had a beginning, it's got an end. The only thing that has no beginning and no end is God. But if your issue, your situation, your sickness, your problem has a beginning, it has an end. Wait for your vision to finish. You see, this is what carried Job through, and I'm trying to finish here. Job had a vision. Do you understand that this was the key? How did he get through all of these negative things that happened in his life? Well, look at this. Job 19:25, he says, for I know. How did he know? He had seen it in a vision. That my Redeemer, he's speaking prophetically about Jesus Christ. Who is our Redeemer? He says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. What a prophecy. Job, you're going through all these things. It looks like God has forsaken you. Your friends are saying negative things about you. And you still have a vision. This is the key to Job's success. He still had a vision that one day, I am going to stand. I am going to see my Redeemer. That is the key. You have to have a vision. And though my skin worms, he says, even if this body dies, yet, He's saying, I'm going to be resurrected. He says, yet in my flesh. He had a vision of the resurrection. He had a vision of the resurrection. My flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold not another, though my reins be consumed within me. This was how Job did it. He had a vision. He couldn't see around him how things were going to work out. He was sick in his body. All his wealth had been taken. His children had been killed. Lost everything. And his wife is saying, listen, I don't care what kind of God this is you're serving, but you should just curse him. Give up. What kind of God allows these things to happen to you? Here was Job's secret. He had a vision. He couldn't see how he was going to get out of this. He couldn't see how this was, but he could see a vision that he would see his Redeemer. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, nothing you have imagined shall be restrained from you. You tell Satan that. Listen, God has given us a law of faith. It's in Romans 8:23. It says the law of faith. If you didn't know that faith was a law, go look up Romans 8:23. So it says just as strong, in fact, much stronger than the law of gravity. We say what goes up? And most of us believe if we throw up a rock, we move out the way. Why? Imagine if we had the same faith in the law of faith. That what we speak according to God's word, and when we see it, it's going to happen. We would act as if it was going to happen. We would act, when we throw up a rock, we move out the way because we know it's going to come down. We believe it's going to come down. When we go to that light switch, we believe there's something going to happen. In fact, we would be surprised if the light didn't come on. We have so much faith in it. I'm finishing. Hebrews 11:13. The key to the Old Testament is faith. From the Garden of Eden, in Hebrews where it's recounting, it says, these all died in faith. Not having received the promises. How did they see the promises? Look at this. Having seen them afar off. It's speaking in a vision. They saw that one day God was going to redeem this earth. They saw that one day there was going to be a redeemer. Though they did not get to meet him in the flesh, it says, having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them. And embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Speaking about Abraham, it said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for a city whose builder and found? If you could stand with me. I can't finish this today, but if you could stand with me. We need to get a vision, just like Job, that it doesn't really matter what you're going through because this is not all of reality. Paul said, if in this life alone I had hope, I would be as men most miserable. If this was life, yes, we could all shake our fist at God and say, God, you're so unfair. There'll be some people who will never get a break. Some people will never have anything. But this is not it. It's the truth, but it's not the whole truth. It's the soldiers surrounding the city, but it's not the whole truth. When you're down today, this week, when Satan has got you depressed, say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. And you know what? God may just give you a vision of deliverance. He may show you how much you are surrounded by his love. How he's got his angelic host been protecting you. You didn't even know it. The time, as I said, when you dropped your keys and you got so frustrated, he was saving you from an accident. The time when you lost that job, he was going to give you a better job. The time when a relationship broke up, it was because that was going to give you a lot more heartburn, a lot more terrible things in the future. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. When we try and work it out, we're going to lose faith because we're trying to take the truth that we see. And unfortunately, our spiritual senses are not as enlightened. We have to say, Lord, open my eyes. Elisha prayed for his servant, said, Lord, open his eyes. And immediately he said, I can imagine he just went, wow. I immediately imagine he just, his mouth just opened when he saw what God had done. The Old Testament says, stand still and see. I don't even believe that means with your eyes, but it means inside. Stand still and see the salvation of God. We're going to close this Bible study. But if there's one thing I want to leave with you this week, try it out. When you pray, see your answer. Close your eyes and see God doing it. I am so confident. I am so sure. I am so 100% sure. You will get your vision. Although it tarry, wait for it. It will surely. You know, the Bible says, I'm trying to stop, but it says by two immutable things that it is impossible for God to lie. Impossible. If there's one impossibility God has got, he cannot lie. It's impossible. So if there's any failure, it's because we've not been looking with faith. The Bible says without faith, there's another impossibility. It's impossible to please God. When you pray this week, see your answer. See it. See it come to pass. You won't even know you're smiling, but you will. I can't see my answer without smiling. When I think of all the things I want God to do, if I start to see them, unbidden, a smile comes to my face. I'm exercising my faith organ. Genesis 11:6, nothing that they have imagined will be restrained from them. If you could bow your head.